Morning, afternoon, evening. How you doing, Sheldon?
Good. How are you, Scott?
Very good. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's good to hear yours.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it sure has. And you've been traveling all over the world in the meantime.
Well, I guess
parts
in one specific spot, but yeah, definitely. Which was fun.
Cool.
And a center place for a lot of, I guess, religious and historical history.
Absolutely. You going to share where you were? Are you going to keep it a secret?
No, I like to tease, though. It's always it's part of radio now. You got to kind of like stretch it out.
Is that the buildup?
or mainstream media, they repeat the same thing over and over again until the last part of the show, and then they give you the punchline, and you're always
it's
like,
the teaser.
Oh, that's not as exciting as I thought it was going to be.
There you
go. Yeah. We went to Turkey.
Cool.
Of all places. Yeah, I think, you know, some people might identify with it right away as a very cool country to go to and visit. I personally didn't know a lot about it before leaving, and so it was a great experience, but saw a lot of really beautiful sights. People were very wonderful. Again, it's a 99% Muslim country, but again, very rich in history and in historical history and religious history, back, you know, dating back to the Greek and Roman gods through early Christianity and then into the Muslim religious history as well. And I think, Sheldon, you and I were talking, and I think the part that really impressed me the most was just how much they speak of and say, you know, God's name a lot, and the fact that, you know, they pray multiple times a day to God, and they seem to, in my opinion, want to develop a personal relationship with God, which I find refreshing, because I think in the Western world, you know, there is a big focus on, you know, especially in Christianity, I'm on Jesus or Christ, and kind of like, which is great, but I think it still misses having that direct relationship, which I think is really important, and which I think the course strives to get people to do is have that personal relationship and experience with God, really. That's my opinion. I don't know if you have any thoughts, Sheldon. Or maybe you're on mute right now, or maybe we lost you. Well, I'll keep talking. But basically, yeah, I think the trip was just pretty amazing. Again, I'm sure that there are people that have been to Turkey or would like to go to Turkey and might have some comments about that, especially if you're practicing A Course in Miracles and to go into a country where, again, there seems to be a very strong focus on God. And again, of course, in the Muslim world, it's Allah. And they're also a country that doesn't, well, I guess the Muslim world, the Arab world, they choose not to have devotion to icons, which is also different for the Western world, since we love pictures and especially in Christianity. So it's interesting to see that culture and that difference of the cultures. But again, very positive experience and something that my wife Mary and I very much enjoyed. And of course, a place that has great food is always really good. So very, very enjoyable. All right. So for this week's show, we planned to focus on the workbook section of A Course in Miracles. And essentially, looks like we're trying to get Sheldon back on here. We're having some issues with Skype, it looks like. So I got a little distracted there. But essentially for today's show, we were going to be focused on the workbook section of A Course in Miracles. And the workbook section, actually, we'll get into that in a little bit. I think probably what we'd like to do is start out with, like we have been doing, is a meditation at this point. And I think it's really important when essentially practicing the workbook you know, it's almost like trying to get you into a meditative state, or at least a state where you're very focused. And, you know, the beautiful thing about the workbook is it's set up in two parts. The first part is really helping you undo the things that your ego has learned or has taught you, and what you've learned or what you think is the world and the world around you. And so that's a lot of the first part of the workbook, whereas the second part of the book is, you know, usually everyone's favorite part, because it's kind of filling your mind back up with what the truth is, or what the reality is of, you know, who and what we are in the world. So I think it's, you know, it's usually, you know, meditation is essentially a tool, and it's a tool that can be used to help as you work with something like A Course in Miracles. So with that being said, let's go ahead and we'll do a meditation right now. So go ahead and get comfortable wherever you're at. Of course, if you're driving or doing some sort of work, we wouldn't recommend that you do this now, but go back and listen to it later so that you can participate at a later time. But let's see right now. Sorry, I just wanted to see if Sheldon was going to join us. It looks like we're still having issues there. So again, just get very comfortable and go ahead and close your eyes. And take a nice deep breath in, and just slowly let it out, and just allow any tensions in your body to leave. Take another deep breath in, and just let that one out. Again, just letting all tension release. This is a good practice, regardless of doing meditation. And just as you're breathing now and breathing normally, just notice if there's any tensions held in the body, or maybe any thoughts that you're holding on to, and just allow them to release. In fact, if you're noticing any held tensions, any tightness of the body, any thoughts, you could call on the Holy Spirit to just take those away for you.
Are you there?
And we have Sheldon back.
What have you been doing the whole time? Have you been on?
Yes. I was just starting a meditation.
All right. Sorry about that.
Hey, no
Skype
problem.
Just kicked me off, and it did an update and went through all kinds of stuff. It's like, wow. All right.
Wow, you were having fun.
I was out there having fun, brother.
That's what all this is all about, right? You just things come
like,
up and
whoa.
Take it in stride, chill.
Sorry about that.
Hey, no that apologies. It's great to have you back, Sheldon.
Okay. So you thought you were just gonna kick back and cruise through the show, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I had planned. Continuation of vacation, you know.
So much for those plans.
I let my brother Sheldon carry all the weight.
So we're going to do a little meditation?
Sure, why don't we?
I'm going to start there.
Yeah.
Cool.
I already introed that we were going to be talking about the workbook section.
Okay.
But yeah, would you like to do the meditation for this week?
Might as well do something now that I'm back. All right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Let's do, just sit back, feet flat on the floor, back straight, just nice, relaxed breathing. Allowing yourself to sink into your body to sink into present moment awareness, to drop into your heart, to allow yourself to receive love with an open heart and open arms, like receiving a hug. Allow the love to flow into you, whether it be from the top of your head, through your feet, from Mother Earth, through your open heart, from the heavens above, the support of love holding you. You are not alone. You are loved profoundly, deeply, unconditionally. And you always hold the key to the door that opens your awareness of that love. You cannot give what you have not received. And as you give, you open the gateway to receive even more. This love is the ultimate power and force in all of the universe. It gives you the strength and the courage to forgive. Let go, and to love even more fully. Let that unconditional divine love inform your thoughts and your words and your actions. So that your life becomes an expression of that unconditional love. Let your light shine before all humankind, before all of creation. Let your love heal the world. Receive that love. Give that love. Be that love. Let us bring our hands together in prayer and gratitude and thanks, and we conclude. There you go.
That was very nice. Thank you, Sheldon.
Cool.
You did a better job than I ever would have.
Whatever.
Thank God you came back.
Out of the chaos, we drop into a little bit of peace. So we're talking about the workbook. Is that what the deal is?
Yeah, that's the deal.
We can talk about turkey. We can talk turkey all day.
You missed it.
Oh, dear.
All right. Oh, Stalin.
Yeah. So we were going to sort of talk about how the workbook lessons fit into, the practice of the course. I know that some people, there's a person in my group who was like, oh, I want to read the book first and I'll do the lessons later.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think it matters. I know for me personally, I did read, I think, the text before I did the workbook.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, it was hard. I kept starting the workbook and I would stop. I'd start and stop before I finally decided, okay, I'm really going to do this. So I think each person might be different.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Everyone's different. I always felt like the workbook was the implementation part.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the text was the theory. So if you just read the text, you're getting the intellectual framework for what the course is all about.
Yep.
So it's a mind level action, activity.
Mm-hmm.
The workbook is where it makes it experiential.
Yep.
So it was in the doing of the lessons. And for me, I did them sort of at the same time. I'd read a section, I'd do a lesson, I'd read some of it, do a lesson, and I kind of just worked my way through both of them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, everyone's different about how they do it. But the actual shifting that happens in somebody happens through the lessons. I mean, I suppose it could happen through the text as well, right? You have some revelations and wow, okay, and
Yeah, it's definitely aha. Both.
Yeah, yeah. That will help you understand and shift, right? So.
Exactly. But I agree. And I think you were right on in that, the text is sort of like the lecture portion of a class and the workbook is like the lab section. You're applying it. You're trying, right. You're doing it in the real world, trying to figure out how to take the lecture and make it real.
Right. Right. Exactly. We normally read quotes, but I was thinking we could read some of the intro to the lessons because it kind of... Mm-hmm. Lays down the framework for what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I've got that open.
So just go ahead and read it.
Yeah, go ahead.
So this is the introduction to section 2, which is the workbook lessons. So there's the text and then the lessons and then there's some supplements. So it says, first paragraph, a theoretical foundation such as the text provides is necessary as a framework to make the exercises in this workbook meaningful. yet it is doing the exercises that will make the goal of the course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. It is the purpose of this workbook to train your mind to think along the lines the text sets forth. And then that's the first paragraph. And I like the second paragraph because it says, I think this is one where, yeah. So this is the part that I always like to talk about. The exercises are very simple. They do not require a great deal of time, and it does not matter where you do them. They need no preparation. The training period is 1 year. The exercises are numbered from 1 to 365. Do not undertake to do more than one set of exercises a day. Oh, wait, that's not it.
Yeah.
Where is that one where it says, you know, it doesn't matter?
That it doesn't matter when you do it?
Yeah. Is that at the end?
I think it is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So the last paragraph, or the second to the last. Some of the ideas the workbook presents you will find hard to believe, and others may seem quite startling. This does not matter. You are merely asked to apply the ideas as you are directed to do. You are not asked to judge them at all. You are only asked to use them. It is their use that will give them their meaning to you and will show you that they are true. Remember only this. You need not believe the ideas, you need not accept them, and you need not even welcome them. Some of them you may actively resist. None of this will matter or decrease their efficacy. But do not allow yourself to make exceptions in applying the ideas the workbook contains, and whatever your reactions may be, use them. Nothing more than that is required. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to like it. You don't have to understand it.
You don't have to like it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to believe in it. Just do it.
Just do it.
And it's going to work.
When I read that, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I can do that.
Yeah. Even kicking and screaming. Yep.
You know, because I've done a lot of different meditation and study a lot of Taoist stuff and Buddhist stuff and all kinds of stuff, you know, but I thought, wow. This thing's got these 365 lessons. They're all laid out in front of you. You don't have to really even like them, appreciate them, understand them. You just have to do them and something will happen.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds pretty easy.
Yep.
So that was kind of my simple approach to, okay, I can do that. And then I've, for some people who have been really actively resistant, I've suggested they do 40 lessons. And just, you know, get through 40 lessons and see if it's something that, you know, by 40 lessons, I feel like you'll start to have an experience or a shifting or something will happen within your own mind and body and heart and soul that you know is true and shifting for you that, you know, nobody else can take that away from you. It's that, mm-hmm. you know, lived experience that you say, wow. You know, this something happened and I can't, you know, and I can't explain it maybe, but it's this course. And then that generally gives people kind of the grounding or the belief or the faith to continue through and continue to do the work with the rest of the lessons that, you know, try 40 lessons, see what happens. You know, take you what, a month and a half or maybe 2 months if you're not doing them every single day, maybe 3 months, but, you know, give it a little bit of time, do some work with it. Go through 40 lessons, however long that takes you, and see where you feel. See how you feel at the end of those 40 lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Done that with a couple people where they were pretty, you know, skeptical and questioning, and then started having shifts happen where, you know, they just said, okay. And, you know, years later, still working with the course and using it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the first 40 that are typically are the tougher of all of the lessons in the 365 days, just because it's really, I think, very, very much challenges our typical belief systems. I mean, right off the bat, you're basically, the course is having you say, oh, the things that I'm seeing have no meaning. and that really messes with people's heads, I think.
Have you ever just read from like the table of contents, like the titles of all the lessons in a row?
I think I have. Yeah. Yeah. We just look. Yeah.
And that's kind of cool. Cause you kind of mm-hmm. see a progression. You can kind of see almost how, the undoing that's happening, the mm-hmm. shifting in perception that's happening, that the, because it says it's a mind training program and it's training your mind to think in alignment with the principles laid out in the text, which is, you know, thinking with love and compassion and the Holy Spirit versus judgment, condemnation, and the ego, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you're shifting your perception from egoic, fear-based thinking into compassion, love-based, Holy Spirit-based thinking. And how do you right. do that, right? And how do you do that in the day when you're you know, bombarded with decisions and thoughts and the things that are coming at you and things that are coming at you and thoughts that are popping up within you constantly throughout the day? How do you continually make that shift?
Right. And I think it's interesting that, I mean, you really don't start to get into, I guess, what more people would want to have, I guess, in a lesson, which is more positive thinking or, again, thoughts in alignment with God, until really, I think, when you, the end of the month, your first month of doing this. I think, and if I look here, lesson 29, it's almost the end of the month, is the first time you get to kind of start to think in more alignment with God versus trying to undo the mind. But that lesson 29, you know, God is in everything I see, it's pretty powerful. You know, it's almost like there's a reward for going as far as you have.
It definitely pulls the rug out from under you.
Yep.
Yeah, those exactly. first lessons can be really disturbing almost, right? Because they're so flipping your whole framework for how you look at everything completely upside down that it can be disruptive and disorienting, I think.
Yeah, I think it's designed to just jar people awake. I mean, that again, that first lesson basically has you look at everything as being meaningless. And that's going to, you know, I think be really hard for a lot of folks to kind of take on and right off the bat and be like, well, wait a second, what is this doing? Why am I doing this? And that's where a lot of fear comes up, or a lot of, you know, I think we're all taught that, you know, we're here for a reason. God made our bodies. So why would we be looking at things and saying that they don't mean anything? That, and that throws people off. You know, that very first lesson, I think, is what is really hard to get into in the first several. But then, and then usually if you haven't read the text a lot, the language is difficult. Mm-hmm. It's just funny how it symbolizes the start of a journey of what could be a very difficult journey of undoing the ego.
Right. And it's a direct kind of frontal confrontation, or not a confrontation, but a shift away from that ego, right? And it's direct and full. And that's the other thing that I think is, you know, you can't make any exceptions. It said don't. Part of the one of the things about the lessons is you're supposed to apply them to everything that you experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't hold any area away from your application of the teachings, right? So you can't
exactly
have, they call that specialness, right? You can't have that special area that you hold. So you say, oh, you know, I can do the lessons at work and I can do the lessons, you know, with my friends, but not with my partner, wife, spouse, mm-hmm. you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, right? Like that, you know, they're really wrong. they really did do that. And they really are bad. They really do need to change, right? You know, and you project everything onto them, but you do the work everywhere else. You know, that doesn't work. You know, it might be part of the process, right? And it is in stages and all that stuff, but that ultimately it's about the universal application of the principles and the lessons and everything that you experience, including within your own heart, right? Within mm-hmm. your own mind, within inside you and outside, seemingly outside, that it's everywhere that you have thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And judgments are coming up, that you're applying the lessons, that they're universal. And the more the universal you can do them, more universally, right, without hiding any areas. And he talks about like the little corners of your mind that you want to hold and keep mm-hmm. special. The more you can open up the door and let all the light shine into all the little dark corners faster, it'll be more disrupting, but it'll also be faster shifting.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's why I personally like the workbook, because, it, you know, again, it is this guided journey. It's all mapped out for you. you know, the only thing that you need to do is one, kind of remember to do the lessons. In some cases, it might be only once or twice a day. My memory was, at least by the middle of the workbook, you're doing these really regularly. You know, like at some point, I think it's like once an hour. And I know a lot of people kind of go, oh my God, how do I do that? How do I fit that into, of like, if I'm working, how do I fit that in while I'm working?
Right.
And of course, you know, the way I look at it is it's a goal. It's not, you're going to fail if you don't do everything exactly, because, you know, it's just there to be, to disrupt your mind from the normal way it wants to work, which is typically to judge or condemn or feel shame or fear. And that this is just a pattern interrupt, and you have this opportunity now to practice these specific lessons, you know, at certain points of the day. And I think we might have talked about this before, but I mean, there's definitely ways to help remind yourself, you know, of the lessons. You know, there's the little index cards you can buy and carry around with you. I mean, I think we've talked about, I used to write them on the inside of my palm, or now with like Microsoft Outlook or whatever you use at work, I could plug them in, you know, every hour as a reminder that I'm going to do this lesson at the beginning of the hour, even at work. Because my colleagues don't need to know what I'm looking at or what I'm reading.
I know I've shared the story with you, but I don't remember if I've said it on this show where when we get to that part, there is a part in the lessons where it says every hour for like 5 minutes or whatever, right, that you think about the lesson, that you think this thought every hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there, and I manage an auto body shop, and it's total chaos, phone calls going, customers, you know, technicians saying, I need this, I need that, what about this part, what about the part? And so there's like kind of like a constant bombardment during the day. It's just nonstop. You know, just yesterday, I think I had lunch at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, just because it was just nonstop. Like from the second I got in, I just didn't have a chance to pull away. Mm-hmm. But so I'm doing the lessons in this kind of environment. And at one point it gets to that 1 hour and I'm like, how am I going to figure out a way? And I wasn't really thinking about using Outlook and all that. I was, you know, and then sometimes I'm not at my desk. I'm in the shop and I'm like, how do I do this? And I look up on the shelf and there are two sand timers, hourglasses, right? Two mm-hmm. of them, beautiful sculpted things. And I asked the owner of the shop, I say, hey, how long are those timed for? And he was just like, they're hourglasses. They're timed for an hour. What do you think? Something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, cool. So I could take this beautiful sculpture, put it next to my computer, flip it, and it's 1 hour going through sand. Nobody knows what I'm doing, and I could be anywhere in the whole office and look over and see that the top portion was empty, which meant it was time to, you know, do the practice. Mm-hmm. And then I could just walk over there, flip it. So I didn't even have to be at my desk, at the computer, whatever. And now you can do that with your phone and stuff like that, but yeah. It was kind of one of those funny things where you felt supported, right? I'm trying to do this work. I'm like, I want to do this work, but it's really crazy. How do I? And I look up, and I don't know whether those, you know, hourglasses had been there the entire time I was there, but I didn't notice them till that particular day. Mm-hmm. You know, there they are, two of them, because I broke one.
Yeah,
I think I ended up breaking both, but by the time the second one broke, I was already done with all the lessons. So it was kind of like, okay, but yeah, you know. That there's, you know, I did the 3x5 thing as well, put it in my pocket. And on good days, I could stick my hand in my pocket, mm-hmm. feel the card and remember the lesson. And mm-hmm. on the bad days, which was most of the days, I couldn't remember what it was. Stick my hand in my pocket. There's that card. What does it say? I have no idea. I can't remember. I'm too caught up in my mind.
Exactly. I ultimately was writing them on my palm. It was the best way for me to remember personally.
So you can just open your palm, look at it, and see it.
Yep. Of course, now, I think back when I was doing it, it was back before like smartphones. So now I think I probably would just plug it into a BlackBerry, and then you get the meeting notice that would pop up, and it would have all of it in there. And
they have apps now. They have iPhone apps.
That's right. That's
Course
right.
Of Miracles Lessons apps that are free. There's a couple of them out there for sure. I mean, I haven't used them because I haven't been doing the lessons again, but they're definitely mm-hmm. out there where you can just pop them on your phone and, you know, look at your phone.
Yep.
Nobody knows anything. And I think I've seen one where it was just the main title of the lesson, and there's others where it's the entire text as well that you read with each lesson.
Okay.
So kind of
cool. That's cool. Yeah. App Store. Yeah, it's amazing how technology can be used to help, you know, help or hinder. And in this case, it could definitely help a lot, right, especially with the workbook lessons, because it does seem overwhelming. Again, I mean, I know for me, it took me so long just to even start. And I think, you know, The Disappearance of the Universe, the Gary Renard book, really helped me out because it just kind of blew open my understanding of the course, which made understanding why I'm doing the workbook even more, it just kind of grounded it out. Meaningful, yeah, exactly. And but it's still, I mean, I don't know about you, but the first time I went through the workbook, it took me well over a year to finish it.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think anybody, there are two of my friend, our friends, you know, who were doing the lessons, and they were some ways into them. And one of the friends said, hey, let's do 40 lessons in 40 days, mm-hmm. You know, which is just one a day, which is what you're supposed to be doing, right? But nobody mm-hmm. really, very few people actually do the whole year in 365 days, because the lessons tend to be a stirring pot, you know, mm-hmm. it's stirring yep. the stuff up inside you for release, right? And forgiveness. Mm-hmm. But for many of us, that rate, we need mm-hmm. a break, right?
Yeah.
So that rate of pot stirring, looking at the mud, is too intense. And so we'll take some time off and just sort of process or whatever. And then, you know, go back. Well, these two friends were like, hey, let's do 40 lessons in 40 days. And one of them was just like, I couldn't sleep at night, you know, I was having, you know, so much stuff coming up, crying. I mean, just very emotional, just all kinds of stuff was going on in that 40-day intensive period where they actually did it, 40 days and 40 nights, 40 mm-hmm. day, 40 lessons and 40 days. And it was, you know, it was actually a tough period. I'm sure a lot of shifting happened in that period, but at the same time, it is pretty, it can be very intense.
Yep.
The other thing, though, that's interesting is some people will do the lessons over and over again because they got to get it right.
Oh, yeah.
That one's kind of funny. It's just like, why don't you just skip on and go to the next one? Don't worry about it. Yeah, forgive yourself. You know?
Yeah.
Let yourself off the hook. You don't.
You're already perfect.
Yeah. You don't have to do it perfectly. There's no such thing. Because mm-hmm. there are people that will do the lessons over and over again saying they didn't do it well enough.
Yep.
Which is, again, funny and just another judgment, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Because, I mean, at least my understanding, and it's helped kind of, yeah, release a lot of the fear around this stuff, is that it's you know, you're already complete. All you're doing is just reminding yourself. And so each one of these lessons is just a different reminder of that. So, yeah, you don't have to do these things perfectly, because all you're doing is just keep reminding yourself over and over and over again mm-hmm. in different ways. So that's right. Why not one of them is more important than the others, which is why you don't have to do each one perfectly, because it's all the same thing, just kind of from a different perspective.
Right. And they're all self-reinforcing.
Yes.
They're all reinforcing each other over and over again. So if you miss it on that one, you'll get it on the next one. Mm-hmm. you'll be reminded again. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly.
you'll get another opportunity to practice. Believe me. Trust me. Right?
Yep.
It keeps...
Yeah.
And in a way, they're kind of circular, just like the text is. I've had a friend say it's a spiral, upward spiral. I think Ken Wapnick talks about that, that there's a circular spiral aspect of spiraling upwards and going deeper and deeper and deeper, but the same concepts. Had another friend talk about how it's like holographic,
mm-hmm.
right? Where a hologram being where every fragment contains the whole. And that the lessons and the text itself is all very holographic. It's like you could read one chapter and have the entire course right there in it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's just kind of over and over and over again. Different nuance, different emphasis, different thing, but the entire concept is within itself, always repeating over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It's because some of us are slow learners.
Imagine that.
Like me.
I can relate to that. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting, because going through the workbook is also kind of a reflection of what's going on for you personally, I think. And it's just always an opportunity to, one, just be gentle on yourself,
right.
But also realize that, again, even though the workbook lessons are striving to get you to remember and return to what you are, you know, it might take a longer time than what you have planned for yourself. You know, like by lesson 49, that lesson's about, you know, God's voice speaks to me all through the day. And then I know that there are people out there that get really upset because they go through that day and they're like, I didn't hear God's voice. I must be doing something wrong, or I'm bad. Or, you know, it's like, no, that's not the point. The point is that you're asking for that. You want that finally in your life again. And it might not just flip on in a day, a month, a year. I mean, who knows?
Right.
But you just, you've asked for it, not let it go.
Exactly. All prayers are answered. It's a form in which they are answered. We may not be able to comprehend or understand or see at that moment. And,
exactly.
Right. But it is answered. So relax.
Chill. Yeah.
Just chill.
Just chill, man.
Just chill with those lessons there, man. Come on.
Just have fun with them. Yeah. Enjoy them.
Lighten up.
Lighten up. Literally.
Literally. Right. And it's like, yeah. Taking the lessons seriously is another one of those kind of egoic. It's like you know, it's like the thought of separation in which the Son of God remembered not to laugh, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's that intention to be serious, like this is, you know, serious, this is important, right? That's an egoic function. And that laughter and joy and celebration and peace, those are the aspects of love. And of, you know, divine love, that when you get into seriousness, you're getting typically into judgment and condemnation of yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing about, oh, I got to do this lessons right, you know, that I got to take this seriously. This is important. I didn't do it right. You know, all of that thought structure is just self-attack. And so, yeah. Take a chill pill, man.
Yeah, I mean, and it, you know, and I can understand though, because, you know, again, I think the first several lessons are pretty intense.
Yeah, we all go through that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, man. Yeah. Oh, I suck at that.
But then, you know, as you progress through, I mean, there's just some beautiful lessons, like just randomly, lesson 93, light and joy and peace abide in me. I mean, that's just beautiful. You know, how can you not sit with that, not just enjoy that lesson for that that day? And I mean, I think that's what's so great about the workbook lessons. Like once you get through that initial, the tougher lessons, I mean, just it's like beautiful reminders and just like, yeah, how can you not have fun with it and just enjoy it? And, you know, that would be my hope for everybody that does the workbook lessons. Like if you're stuck at the beginning or just finding it tough, it gets better and better and better, easier, 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 and just more enjoyable.
Right.
So that by the end of it, it's just like a piece of cake, a breeze, and you're just enjoying it. And then I don't know about you, but I know the first time I went through it, by the end, I was like, oh man, I can't believe it's over. Mm-hmm. That's why at least I know I've been through it one more time, like all the way through. And I know I'm going to do it again at some point. And it's just a pretty cool journey.
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually only done it once. I never did it again. Maybe I will.
Maybe.
You know, the other thing it says at the end of the lessons, the paragraph that's at the end, it says that it is not... it is not an end, but a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can find that. It says, this is not an end, but the beginning. And that the whole point is to connect with your inner guide, your inner teacher, right? And basically, like learning to hear, listen for the Holy Spirit within you. And that's the whole point, is that at some point, this course is a beginning, not an end. Your friend goes with you. You are not alone. No one who calls on him can call in vain. Whatever troubles you, be certain that he has the answer and will gladly give it to you. If you simply turn to him and ask it of him, he will not withhold all answers that you need for anything that seems to trouble you. He knows the way to solve all problems and resolve all doubts. His certainty is yours. You need but ask it of him and it will be given to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's more to it, but, you know, it's a beginning. It's not an end.
Yep.
It's and then I think somewhere in the workbook or in the text, it says that a mind at peace is no small feat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the goal of the course, I think, is to quiet the mind the heart opens, the connection into the Holy Spirit through the awakened heart is made. And at that point, you're listening to the Holy Spirit through your heart, through your guidance, right, on how best to love in that moment, how best to continue forgiveness, how best to forgive yourself and others, how best to heal, and that you become a channel for that, right?
Yeah.
And if there's other teachings or other things, whether it's doing the course again, whether it's doing Way of Mastery, whether it's doing some of these other, you know, John Mark, Stroud, some of the other people that are out there doing different avenues, that whatever avenue you're choosing at that point is kind of like you're listening to your own internal guidance about how best to serve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, it's just, to me, it's pretty simple. And, you know, the text workbook, yeah, it'd be like getting out of a class. Like, that doesn't mean you're done. Now you're going to be applying this stuff. You know, you're
right.
Going to
all learning has ended. Learned. I graduated from high school.
Yeah, I got a piece of paper, so now that must mean I'm done. I'm just going to wait for the beam of light to pull me up, right?
Right.
And it's like, well, no, you know, now you need to really go out and really you know, allow all the layers of the onion to peel away so that, yeah, you're just walking around totally connected and remembering that you're peace and love, you know, that you're with God and the Holy Spirit's, you know, your voice. Eventually all that comes together. I mean, I can't wait for that experience, but I also know where I can see where I let things, you know, pull me out of peace, but I can also see where I've come a long way, you know,
right, exactly,
over the years too. And it's just a process. And I think something like the workbook is just a good tool. And even if it's random, I mean, now there's certain, you know, just lesson headings that I'll just repeat to myself, you know, like, I'd rather see peace instead of this.
Right.
I say that a lot. And that's just something carried over from the workbook. And that's just a great reminder. Again, that pattern interrupt, it's great to have that as a tool.
Right. And that is one of the cool things about having so many lessons is there's a ton of pattern interrupts. And people have their favorites.
Yep.
You know, favorite little thing, like, you know, I could choose peace instead of this, or I forget if you said it, you know, basically that, right? That idea, I can choose peace, or I can see peace, or that there's different things that we all connect to, different lessons, different phrases that are these pattern interrupts that, you know, allow us to stop the egoic judging, condemning thought process, that train, that gravy train that goes down that pathway that gets very difficult to get off of, judgment and fear-based condemnation, right?
Yeah.
How do you stop that? You know, or if you're getting on it, how do you let it go by without jumping on the train, right? And then sometimes you get on it, how do you get off as quickly as possible? And these lessons can do that.
Yep.
They're really good at that. So that's the application, right? That's the real world application of the teachings into your life in that moment in real time. And that's where you have the greatest level of healing that happens. I mean, you can heal absolutely at any time, but it's like this real time experience of wow.
Yeah.
The holy instant, you know?
That's it. Yeah, that holy instant that the Course talks about, it's just all the times that you catch yourself and you move out of fear or shame or guilt or, you know, whatever it is, into, you know, peace or love. And that's all the workbook and the Course is trying to do, is just help you interrupt that pattern or those moments where you're completely out of peace and kind of go, hey, remember, that's not you.
Right.
This is you over here.
The tap tap on the shoulder.
Yep.
Hey, hey, hey.
And of course, if you're, you know, experiencing something, you know, in the body that seems really huge and like, oh gosh, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Well, you can't. And that's where releasing it, you know, utilizing that friendship and that relationship with the Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit's job. You know, your job, like, for example, I don't know if you've experienced this, but I know I have, you know, starting like a new job and it's like, oh my gosh, all this new stuff. And I'm already getting all these new responsibilities and I'll get anxiety. And it's like, now I have something to remember. Like, well, no, that's what's, first of all, what's there to be anxious and fearful and nervous about? Because this isn't really happening. And you know, I'm not the one really responsible for all this stuff. I'm making all this up. And you just start releasing it and using whatever phrase or pattern helps you to do that. And then you just keep releasing. And before you know it, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm calm again. I'm peaceful again. And I can move on now through my day.
Right.
And take things, a bite at a time.
Exactly. You know, one step at a time. I've, you know, same thing, very similar, right? You know, all these expectations at work, you know, all these these reports and all these things, and they're looking at every single thing, and it's, we got bought by a major company, so now we have these new levels of corporate oversight and stuff like that in the shop, and fear comes up, you know, like, oh shoot, my numbers went down, my numbers don't look so good right now, or whatever, you know, and then, like you said, there's a fear that will come up or an anxiety, and you're looking at that, And for me, I was like, well, why do I feel that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why can't I be okay with that? Why, you know, and it's like, oh, you know, growing up as a kid, you had to get straight A's or whatever it is, or your parents yelled at you because you got a B, or, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like, whoa, you know, that there's some deep-seated early stuff that came in that formed that need to be perfect.
Exactly. Yeah.
That developed that anxiety for a B, that you weren't good enough when you got a B. You
exactly.
Know? And then, okay, I can do some healing there. I can do some release in that place too, right?
Yep.
Phew.
Or something, you know, I know that I go through at work is, you know, I want to be a comfortable person. I notice that that's like one of my major things that it's like I'm always trying, it's what brings me out of peace quickly. If things aren't comfortable anymore, then it's like, oh my God, I start freaking out.
Like and physically comfortable?
Physically, emotionally, just any kind of, and it ties back to the Enneagram thing stuff that I've studied. I understand it.
Yeah.
But like I watch this pattern at work where it's like, oh, something got resolved and fixed. Oh, this is so comfortable. It feels good. Oh, another problem came up, you know, and it's this constant up and down cycle.
Up and down. Yeah.
And I used to ride that wave all the time and then always look for the low points, you know, like, oh, we want to stay here. We want to stay in comfort zone. But then it's like, well, wait a second. That's not realistic, you know. That's not what the ego is going to throw at you every day or every week, you know. It's always got to be up and down. It's up and down, up and down. And so the more you can even recognize patterns in the workbook can help you do that, you know, just makes everything so much easier and so much more peaceful as you go through your life.
Right. It's like you're riding through this duality-based polarity, you know, of dualism, right? Good and bad, right and wrong, up and down. And polarity meaning extremes of that, right? Extreme good, extreme bad, extreme da-da-da, right? So you have all of that variation, which is inherent in this dimension, this experience that we have, right, in this world.
Yeah.
But love is constant.
Yep.
You know, unconditional love is constant, never shifts, never changes. And when you can connect to that in the midst of all of that, it kind of dampens out that effect of the swings up and down, right? Doesn't mean you're not going to swing at all.
Right.
But instead of like jacking all the way up and falling all the way down and so searing all the way up and soaring and crashing, you know, you're kind of like, it's like a gentle, soft wave, slightly up, slightly down, and mostly steady, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it just sort of takes the edges off of that whole thing, that whole experience, where, you know, you're more loving and compassionate no matter what's happening.
Yep. That's why I think, and again, I'm looking at the time, but I just would highly encourage anyone that's listening, if you are either struggling with the workbook or have thought about it, it's just, it's very much worth going through it and being gentle and care, you know, kind to yourself. And,
it's not, you know, another opportunity to judge yourself.
Exactly. And you can actually enjoy it too.
Yeah.
But it's highly recommended. You know, it's something that I know for the course, you know, they're just do it, you know, 365 lessons. It can take more than a year and it will change your life and for the better. It's a beautiful opportunity.
Absolutely. And we are coming down to it, right? So, you know, if you're in San Mateo area, California, Northern California, we've got a little group. There's a couple of them. There's, I think, Woodside has one. I think San Carlos has one. There's a couple in the area. We're listed. The one that I facilitate is listed in the Course in Miracles website, right? And it's also listed through artsunitymovement.com, which is the nonprofit where we hold the center that we hold our Course in Miracles study group. It's Wednesday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. 149 South Boulevard in San Mateo, California, if you're interested. You can definitely look us up. Again, it's artsunitymovement.com, or you can go through the Course in Miracles website and their study group locator and find us. And Scott?
I think that covers it. And again, if you want to find out more about Sheldon or myself, ofcourseradio.com. And you can also check out our archives on BBS Radio or in iTunes.
We have podcasts of these things, huh?
Yeah, we do. It's pretty awesome. It's kind of thanks cool. to the BBS team.
Yeah, thank you guys. I think that's about it till we talk again in a couple weeks.
Couple weeks, yeah. We'll choose a topic and we'll let folks know.
We're going to figure out something to talk about before the show actually starts.
Before the show, yeah.
It might only be 5 minutes before.
But no one will be the wiser.
Unless we tell them.
Yes. All right.
There you go.
Always a pleasure, Sheldon, my brother.
Yeah, awesome. Always good to talk to you, Scott. Tell all Mary right. said hi. And, you know, are you making any international ventures in the next 2 weeks before I talk to you again or what?
No.
Going off to... No, some other exotic country?
No, not right now.
Nothing planned.
Nothing planned. But we'll let you know. So again, okay. Hope everyone take care out there and enjoy working in the workbook.
Yeah. It is a course, so there's a course to take.
Exactly. And it can be fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye. Signing off.